That seasoned commentator is Alex Kane. He's available to have a conversation with us on the U105 phone-in. Good morning, Alex.
Frank, does seasoned mean old? I mean, you've just been very kind to me.
Mature.
It does mean old, doesn't it? Mature, yes. Vintage, veteran, yes. I know what you mean.
You're from the same era morning. As Chris McGimsey, I'll put it like that.
I would be, yes.
Alex, it's one of these days where you get a sense that the local council elections are more newsworthy than they would be at some other times. I know they're usually lumped in with another more interesting election or more pressing election. But this year, yesterday, because of the political situation we're in, I think people are genuinely turning up the volume a bit more on this one.
Well, they are, it's a more interesting one, Frank, and you're right, somebody, because we're in the talks process, the latest, the newest, begins on Tuesday. And the figures will have an impact on what's happening because, parties are doing well. If there seems to be a surge in the middle ground parties, that will have an impact on the talks. If there seems to be that there's no change at all in the DUP Sinn Féin, that has an impact. If Sinn Féin, who seem to, we don't know for definite, but they seem to a little bit better getting a vote out yesterday than the unionist side. If they just nudge ahead a little bit more, that all these things have impacts, and that's what makes it interesting. And also, when you look at the English local government elections, you've been told the Tories and Labour both taking a hammering, and yet many of those councils, right, the turnout is between 25-30%. Here we seem to be 51-54, something like that. So there's an interest which you wouldn't normally expect in local government. So yeah, that could be important.
Do you expect there to be anything newsworthy at the end of the next couple of days where there's a wow factor?
Well, I think what you have to look at, there are two things. If you go back to the last local government election, 2014, DUP and Sinn Féin only had 47% of the vote between them. Add in from then to the to now, that vote in the two assembly elections and the general election, that joint vote has gone up to 65%. So it will be interesting to see if that pattern holds, and it would suggest, if it's moved up 2-3%, it would suggest that pattern's holding. It means that the DUP and Sinn Féin could be on course to pick up a lot of seats they weren't expecting to pick up, which means that's going to be a very bad news day for the SDLP, for the UUP, maybe potentially for Alliance. And that too sends a message, Frank, because on the back of Laoghaire McKee's death and on the back of the fact that we were having talks, on the back of the fact that you get sense in the past 2 weeks, people talking about we need change, we need to be seen to be doing something different. If it's the case that at the end of this, by tomorrow sometime, we're all saying, well, it's just more or less exactly the same, the DUP Sinn Féin continue to consolidate everybody else, that sends a message about the talks process, because both those parties will take it as a mandate to keep on doing what they've been doing, because that's how they've grown. In England, what we've seen is the Liberal Democrats have acted, the middle ground there has gained, at the expense of the other two, because it has certainty. So what you're seeing across England is people thinking, oh, well, okay, we're getting something here. The other voices have been listened. We have the certainty of what we want. If that doesn't emerge in Northern Ireland, it makes it very difficult for a talks process, because the big two just simply say, well, look at our mandate. We've just increased it again.
You talk about us having maybe a 51% or so turnout, much higher than many parts of England. However, the reality is that one in two people don't vote. Is it misleading to suggest that those who are interested in Sinn Féin and the DUP do make an effort, they do get out and they do vote, whereas the majority of people who don't vote would have no time for Sinn Féin or the DUP, so it's therefore the lesser parties who are losing out from the other 50% not voting?
I think that's true. I think for particularly the Sinn Féin and the DUP over the past few years, you and I have had this conversation before, it's a numbers game now. If you looked at the Mary Lou McDonald, Michelle McAvein Michelle O'Neill, when they were talking about the launch in their campaign, it was about, this is time to move in a border poll, time Brexit has done so much damage, we need to unite the country, we need to stand up for Northern Ireland, blah, blah, blah. And the DUP, you have Arlene Foster in her press launch going, a vote for any other unionist party or any other unionist candidate is giving succour to Sinn Féin's divisive border poll. So basically, that the message of both those parties, nothing to do with local government, it's simply how you count the numbers at the end. And I say that does make it genuinely difficult for that middle ground. And the other thing worth bearing in mind in terms of the 50% or of non-voters, or whether it's 40% on some other election, people keep telling me, frankly, they say, oh, well, if all those people came out, that's where the change would be. They would make the change. Actually, when you drill down into those figures, and when you do some, there has been some research done, it's a huge mistake to assume that non-voters, you know, because I hear sometimes the LCUNIS, SDLP, Alliance, Greens say, oh, if we could only mobilise these non-voters, that would be a huge victory for the middle ground. There's actually no evidence of that at all. There's a lot of evidence which suggests that many habitual non-voters, you know, particularly post-1998, actually despise the system. In some cases, they're the Republicans who don't think the unionists should be involved in government with them and vice versa. So a lot of people, the so-called non-voters, a lot of them are much more hard-line, Frank. So, and I think when people say, why does the middle ground never materialise? I actually think the middle ground, with maybe 1 or 2% difference, has probably peaked in Northern Ireland. I think it's almost like a mythic. It's a unicorn thing. It's people keep thinking it's there, but in election after election after election, the middle ground, the so-called moderate liberal progressives, they're not there, which is why. It's not that the Alliance and UUP and SDLP are bad at what they do or bad policies. It's simply because, in the hard electoral terms, the DUP and Sinn Féin have set out a very clear picture of opposition to each other, mutually contradictory positions with each other, and they are building support in that, Frank. That is the most astonishing thing. That's how they're building. They're building on being opposed to each other, not on bringing people together.
And finally, Alex, two individual names that may or may not make headlines. Well, they will make headlines regardless of how it goes for them today. First of all, Barry McIlduff, former MP, now trying to rebuild his political career as a councillor. Speaking locally to people up in his neck of the woods, they reckon he'll win just so easily it'll be beyond belief how many votes he'll get. Do you agree with that?
I'd be very surprised if Barry didn't. The key thing for him, he made a mistake. He accepted the mistake. You know, it ended his parliamentary career. But on the ground, he is very popular. You know, it's just one of those things. People seem to like him. And in elections, Frank, that's one of the key qualities. Particularly in PR elections, you know, even excluding Barry, but simply PR elections, when you have three candidates from the same party, quite often, if you look at the ones who seem to be popular on the ground, popular with local people, they have the edge there. So I think Barry is just, I mean, I've had to work with him in the past. He is likable, he's entertaining, he makes the occasional mistake. But I think he has that friendly voter appeal, which will see him, I think, very comfortably elected.
And the other character who will make the headlines, Alison Bennington, the DUP's first openly gay candidate. Will Alison Bennington get elected, do you think?
I think she has a good chance, simply because the DUP vote, they've learnt, they're good at voter management. They will have looked at her background, they will have looked at where she stands in the DEA and so on. It's important for them because they made an issue of it. You know, at the launch, Alison was sitting up, I think, two seats away from Arlene. She gave an exclusive interview to the Irish News, I think, the day after, which was obviously given with permission of the DUP's press office. They are expecting her to win. But again, they will be looking at the numbers carefully. If there's any, if she wins, but the vote has gone down slightly, or if she wins, but they seem to have attracted votes or won votes from somewhere else, then they're taking a risk, Frank, and they shouldn't have to. In 2019, I'm sorry, no political party should be having to take a risk on the sexual orientation of a candidate. That just strikes me as absurd anyway. But if she gets in reasonably comfortably and has attracted votes, it makes it easier for some people in the DUP who are thinking on a more broad theme of how you expand the pro-union vote to say, well, actually, our core vote is not upset about this. Yes, there may be an evangelical wing of the Free Presbyterian Church who are not happy, but there are only 10,000 or so Free Presbyterians in Northern Ireland, Frank. If the DUP have to take an electoral risk, and Bennington does reasonably well, I think Alison will. And also the very fact, you know, that, you know, she seems to be comfortable enough. She seemed, knowing what the party's policy is supposed to be, she seems comfortable enough to be a candidate and not hide her lifestyle. And I think if she wins, that in itself, she becomes an important voice. It's the old, you know, Barack Obama thing, be the change you want to be. And maybe they just think, well, if she's there, she's turning up at council meetings, she's turning up at, you know, party meetings and getting a wider profile. That in itself helps. I think the DUP are doing a very sensible thing and long overdue, mind you, but I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much indeed. Alex Kane, political commentator, on a day when the votes are being counted at the local council elections. Good morning to you. Are you the sort of person who's excited by this, or are you saying, what, was there an election? When was the election? Is that your attitude? Some of you, of course, haven't a clue what's going on. And that's worrying. That is concerning. But everyone's a citizen. 0289033105 is our number. You can let us know what you think.